I might be dating myself. Out at Bethel this morning, I was also isolating myself because not many people knew who Glenn Yarbrough is. Any of you know? Good. Yep. He was a balladeer, I guess you would call him, from the 60s and 70s. And I've always loved his music. He had a lot of really good ballads, but one of my favorites is a song that was written and sung by John Stewart. But I really like the way Glenn Yarbrough belts it out, and I bet you could find it on YouTube. I picked this for starting my sermon today because I think it pretty much sums up one of the main messages in all of our readings today, certainly from the first part of our gospel. Jesus was a friend of John. Mm-hmm. Jesus was a friend of Paul. Mm-hmm. He was a friend of Matthew, James, John, down the line. I do believe I'd have been a friend of Jesus in his time. I'm not going to sing all the verses for you, but I'll give you the verses. Jesus walked the streets at night. Mm-hmm. Jesus, he didn't need no light. Jesus walked with the harlot, and he ran with the hoodlum kind. I do believe I'd have been a friend of Jesus in his time. Jesus ran with the hardline gang. Jesus knew the songs they sang. He didn't have no money. They say he didn't have a dime. But I do believe I'd have been a friend of Jesus in his time. Good God Almighty, my darling Jesus, you are a friend of mine. Come on along, we'll sing another song of Jesus in his time. They caught him in the yard, the National Guard. Jesus, he was crucified. Open up the door, he's seen it all before. Jesus, he's on your side. Good God Almighty, my darling Jesus, you are a friend of mine. Jesus did not come to earth to endure so much pain and suffering, so much disappointment, just to save perfect people. Uh-oh. None of us is perfect, right? So I guess he did come to save us all. Romans 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In case you hadn't noticed, when Jesus went about calling his disciples, he didn't knock on any castle doors, or for a matter of fact, he didn't knock on any temple doors. He picked ordinary people, like fishermen, common laborers, people who worked with their hands. And sometimes he even picked people who were despised and rejected by others. Jesus was constantly stepping over the line according to the Pharisees. And who are they? We know that they were the pot stirrers who made sure that Christ was crucified. They were an ancient, influential sect of scholars and lay people from around 165 BC until the time of Christ. And they were known for their strict adherence to both written scripture and oral tradition. They emphasized law and ritual purity. To them, the laws and ritual purity was the most important part of their faith. So frankly, every time I hear people today quoting Leviticus to treat someone badly, I walk the other way. It's not the law that is all important, but the heart of any laws that God gave us. If you look closely at the Ten Commandments, each of them protects someone. Sometimes the commandments protect us. Sometimes they protect others. The Pharisees were all about ritual sacrifices, which in both the first reading from Hosea and in Psalm 50 were not what God wanted from us. He created the world and all the creatures that the earth contained. Why on earth would he need a burned animal? He didn't want that. And we were told that several times in our readings today. Hosea 6, verse 6, "For I desire steadfast love." That kind of sounds like the first commandment, doesn't it? And from Psalm 50, verse 15, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall honor me." God wants us to ask him for help. He wants to be there for us. In Romans 4, we're asked to have faith like Abraham. Chapter 4, verse 13, "Hoping against hope, Abraham believed that even though he was 100 years old, he would have a son. And when he was 100 and Sarah was 90, they did have their son, Isaac. God wants our complete and always present faith in him. And having that kind of faith is transforming. And if we're called, like Matthew was today in our readings, we're called. And that's that. We don't know why God chooses us. He doesn't disqualify us based on past sins or our lack of wealth or even because of our wealth. He doesn't pass us by because of lack of formal theological training, case in point, or any other check mark that some rule book might come up with. God is looking for people who acknowledge that they are sinners and fall short, but they're sorry for their bad choices and hope to do better, and they accept that Jesus is the Savior. And then sometimes they accept the calling. God remembers us for our acts of faith, not for our acts of disobedience, or even for the good things that we do sometimes just to look good. Have you ever seen that? Our hearts have to be in it. And if it isn't, if you're just showing off, it's nothing more than a burnt offering. Our altar painting here shows the Good Shepherd. But in a lot of churches, you see the altar painting where Jesus is knocking on a door. How many of you know what's special about that door? Do you see a handle on the outside? No, you don't. No, you don't. Jesus will knock on our door, but we're the ones who have to let him in. We have to open the door from our side. We might have to set aside our daily to-do lists and any lofty goals on our dream lists to have some time to visit the sick, feed the hungry, demand justice, to love others, to forgive, and to serve others. Instead of waiting for people to enter the doors of our church and then maybe feeling bad that all the pews aren't filled, maybe we need to go out into our communities to respond to people's needs. We need to show our community our faith and not just talk about it. In our gospel, Jesus sees Matthew, a tax collector, and calls him. He saw something that Matthew most certainly didn't see in himself, but Jesus did. And he wanted to encourage Matthew. Matthew got up and followed. He left his cushy job and his financial security for a different kind of wealth for spiritual wealth. Am I saying that we all need to walk away from our nice jobs and our 401ks or 403bs or whatever your numbers are? No, not at all. But look around. What might God be calling you to do to live out your faith? What can you do to serve others? What can you do to open that door and let Christ come fully into your heart and into your daily lives? Amen.